Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
screening quizzes for research papers. Now, it's something that is a quiz you do, and if the answers aren't what you expect, then you probably should read the research paper. Now, this is sort of like a really strange sort of, bastardization of formal quizzes for learning. Because for formal quizzes for learning, you've got to actually see if you can assess someone's learning. Now, this is not for it. It's supposed to be objectively, you've got to give two or three people a quiz. Normally, you give two or three people a quiz. They conduct it, and you take the course back, and you can identify what someone knows, or have they taken out some information. Now, this is sort of like a restorative quiz. This is, you know, the majority of people have learnt things, and you have to communicate to them what they don't know, or what you're doing, which is different. So, what's new? So, if they do this quiz and they get all the right answers, they're not going to be interested in you and reading your research paper because they know it already. But if they get some answers different or unexpected, it will actually flag to them. Hang on, I can find out. I'll check this out. Is it, you know, what's the basis of this? So it's a really different kettle of fish. You're not aiming to collect the information and then reveal them at the end. You want to reveal it, the information as you go. So so this particular quiz is cut down multiple choice. That is two or three options. The correct option, the most common non-option, or perhaps another two non-options if it's unclear. So in general, there's a majority view of what people think and what's your difference. So this is a multiple choice question here. And the correct answer is always the last answer. And so what they can do is that they can read the question, look at the last answer and say, do I agree with this? No. Or what do the majority of other people think? It's sort of like a really succinct way of doing it. So rather than having the multiple choice question answers randomized, you have the wrong answer, which is a common answer that most people might give, and the scientifically correct answer is the second answer. I do a quiz. Now, the thing about this is that one of the things I'm doing is that everything I'm writing, I'm putting to text-to-speech. And now, one of the things is that text-to-speech works terribly for quizzes. It says for Q1, it says Q1. And you hear it. So you really got to get to, for all Qs, you have to extend that to the word question, write it out the question. And then for, you've got to have timing. You've got to introduce pauses to it. So between every letter, you know, A, this, B, this, C, this, you've got to, and you've got to do give the letter so that they know this is a new answer. Between those, you've got to do a space, so a full stop, space, period, and that will pause. And even then, it will tend to say, too quickly. And so you have to replace A with A double E, and B with B double E, and C with C E. So it's got to be AE, not AEE, because AEE, you know, doesn't sound right. It doesn't have to say it. So you have to actually trick the entire system into reading it. And then you've got to ask yourself, what sort of resource do I want to do? You know, I'm going to store the questions in a spreadsheet. This is going to be interesting going around here. I'm going to store the questions in a spreadsheet, and then can I get that spreadsheet to format a format cells opposite. So I can then collect those cells, and now this is enough to drive you absolutely stark raving mad. And now what I had done is I had done a legitimate four-part training series, and the four-part training series is where you get the lecture, you get the questions with the answers explained, and then you get the questions as multiple choice with the answers explained, or at the end you get the class test. We can do the ABC, it reads the class test, and then it goes through and explains the answers. All very well if you can set this up. I'm just looking at this got me up here. Now just seeing this goes across here, it looks so that I'm recording away. So I'd set that up, and you realise that's for when someone wants to study and learn something. And this quiz is not for that. This quiz is to forget as much as possible, and you only highlight or circle the areas that you find interesting, the notes are taking. And so this is sort of like a pre-reading quiz to get you through. Now, how I came up against this is that I am just, while I'm exploring some new spaces, sort of like, obviously, if I'm not going to, if I'm doing a work for schools and schools shut me out, I've got to actually mentally process that and keep on moving the processes up, so I've got more advanced electronics, more advanced demonstrations, and site that up so they're ready in time for, like, that they have sufficient power to go ahead, and that they've got, the site is sufficiently long so that I can order ahead components, cheap components, and they can come in. And I can do a little bit and analyse how I'm doing. And so what's actually happening up was unexpected. I did a little bit of wiring and analysed that my soldering is absolutely shit. And the techniques that I had taken were techniques I had for good quality tools. I've got low quality tools. I've got to find a different way of doing it. So you need, in order to get that quality up, you need to take your time nice and slowly. And in the route, in the absence of a planning meeting and planning group and engineers, you have to do a bit and write a research paper. And that writing the research paper is sort of like writing a paper as you're researching, writing up, ready to go in. So it's sort of like a slightly different thing of you write your research paper, you do your research, and it's more notes to yourself to guide your design. And then it's this next thing where I've got a bit of feedback on how to write papers, and then put that into an Excel spreadsheet and be able to churn the handle and guide this along up to the point that where I really have to do this unexpected thing and sort of reteach physics. And this reteach physics means a reappraisal of the history leading up. So a lot of things people take as gospel are not gospel. They're just handed down. They're happenstance. They happen to be something that someone liked to go. They're not necessarily the best, well thought out strategies for them. So you've got a strategy package, and you've got to throw the strategic light on the past. And I've got to really do that. But this is not what people want to do. They're used to learning without strategy. The strategy is done for them, and if the strategy is wonky, they throw their hands up and what can you do? Well, this is what you can do. So the end result is that their learning is skew-whiff. There's learning things that don't fit in, so you're going to get some symptoms of it, but it's symptoms of an underlying chaos. And basically, if you're sick and you've got no method of measuring your sickness, you're sort of like you're going up to people who think they've obviously got the plague, but if they're sure they're perfectly healthy, that you're not going to, they're not ready to learn yet. So in the interim, to condense all the myriad of points which come out I've put it into a quiz. And the quiz, you don't want to lose the correct answer. In fact, you want the last answer of the options there being the correct answer, the one that you don't fit in. And you don't necessarily need those correct answers explained in detail in the quiz. You need basically to send someone to the resource, and they may not have time to read it. And of course, this is where being able to put things into podcasts allow you to do it very well. And if you can get Microsoft to read it, all the better. And if you can actually start to massage Microsoft. So there's these steps that I'm going through. So you'll hear the first quiz. I had a read through a quiz, and then after doing that, which took some time, after that I've got to get organize it into a Word document that Microsoft can read. And then the next step is I've got to go from the quiz question. So essentially you'll have your paper written in a spreadsheet, and your quiz for that paper there. And this is the entire concept, in that you have the research package, you have the quizzes, you have the research paper. It's this constellation of things which support the demonstration. So originally people focused on the demonstration. I'm focusing on the demonstration, the people around it, and the interaction and the result, and asking, what is this result caused? Well, some of the result is caused from the way the demonstration is, but it's also caused by the way that people interact with the demonstration, and that can be tweaked. So going there, and then how do I support this demonstration? So this demonstration exists on a shelf, but now we want to plug it into a quality system, and so we need it to be written up and explained in such that people can interact. It's okay, perfectly okay, to have interaction tools give someone who's in a particular position. But if they're not in that position, they have to then go from another position into that position to interact. And that's where the quizzes come in handy. Now, the quizzes, like all these things, have to be streamlined and machined. And so this engineering is coming across. Now, the bottom line is that just really opens things up. The intriguing reason for it is rather disarming. So the reason people believe the wrong thing is through a series of unfortunate happenstance events which sort of rather led to this type of thing. So they're not believing something because it's the best for them. It was just the way it happened at the time, and people never really came back to fix it up. And so you've got these Chinese whispers going on, and you, by the time you have something taught in school, it is miles and miles away from genuine science. And it also has the unfortunate... I'm just going to switch on my car to see what the time is. 10 minutes to go. It's got the unfortunate thing of leading to death and destruction and despair. And essentially, when people put aside truth in just the simplest of situations, that's the thin edge of the wedge. And you find these people who put aside truth are apt to fixing the experiments, fixing everything that it works, you know, orchestrating things that it works. And very much before they see science as a magic trick where so magic tricks, deceive people, you have it happen, and you create an illusion. So it happens one way, but people believe another thing. So the difference between magic and science is, in magic, you want people to believe something happens and it actually doesn't happen. Whereas in science, you just want to actually explain what happens. So there is indeed the magic is there, but it's right on the thing, the grand unified theory, that the magic is a long distance into science. And so it's very much different. Now, the point is that if you add showmanship to science teaching, you often get people thinking that they're there as a magician to confuse, dumbfound, snake oil things, just give a never-ending list of explanations which tail off into madness, incomplete madness. So this is an amazing thing to go ahead. So that's the way that science has evolved. And what's happened is that the Iron Fist has come down and it said, we cannot progress, we cannot go further with you teaching real science. We have to find a mechanism, an excuse for us. They're not really interested in getting rid of me. They're interested in keeping teaching science the way it was. And it's sort of a bit like, Plato's parable of the cave, where people go into the cave, and they realise there's shadows, they realise there's reality, and it just puts a line that the people who are addicted to shadows will kill them. You know, they will kill the people. It's sort of like, it's not sort of no set of, paragraphs or lines or things. And this is what you get in Plato. You get some very, very, there's not many lines, not paragraphs. It's really, really succinct and really close. So you've got the process of these people wanting to kill or to get rid of you. The instance is that obviously they have problems with reality and process, and you can actually just disappear, go off and start building experiments, start building teaching robots, start writing research papers. And even that, obviously, anyone can build sort of a demonstration, anyone can write research papers. There is this missing items that actually lie outside things that we do. So the more fundamental things, I can't really write this, obviously people will be absolutely mad saying, look, fundamentally this is unusual, this has got a quiz with it, this has got an opening up, it's got large openings. So not only is the box engineered to have large input, this paper, which is engineered to feed into the box, it's got yet on top of it engineered other things, which is like these quizzes, and this quiz has got on top of it engineered such that once I produce one quiz, I can produce multiple quizzes. I can, with the click of a button, record the actual sheer quiz and then the quiz with the explanation, so you can choose to listen to two things and eventually automated learning. It's people can't see. Now this degree of automation doesn't exist in the boxes. So that what happens now is that you have a demonstration, and people have to really pay attention to where it's put back, and is it together, does it working, and stuff like that. And all this care. Now, if you put automation there, you can put GPS. Asset tracking on it, such that it now knows where it's at, and so you can say, look, I want to do this, and you have the information of, is this equipment here, or can I suggest something, and having used it, it can software update, can all this intelligent stuff. But the intelligent stuff is just not on the software. That intelligence is actually it needs to be built into the support systems surrounding the software, surrounding the equipment. And the support system is the research paper, and the research paper itself is not an island on itself. We can start to build things into it. So we can design the research paper to be podcasts. We can design the quizzes to be podcasts. We can sort of really expand out. We can actually, for where you previously had research paper, you can have a research paper, an organization, a publicity person, all these things feeding into the research paper. So the research paper is not something that you throw at a journal and hope and discount citations at. The research paper is something which is translated into for different groups to read at, for children to read at, for different languages to read at. It's so you've got this translation, motion, and support building up, because your research paper supports your equipment, and so supporting your equipment is supporting your research paper, is to build entire micro universe around your experiment. So it's not just putting it in a box and putting the smarts in this other box and keeping it there and make it stacking and systems there. There are systems outside this entire system, which is the research paper, explaining what it is. And that research paper is sitting in yet another process system of quizzes and eventually organizations set up to promote it. I think I know what I'm doing. It's just going to take an awful lot. Now, is it going to work? Maybe, maybe not. But at least the plan, the strategy has a plan, has a reason for why you're doing certain things. So there is a reason for why I'm writing out a quiz. I'm writing out a quiz which is a podcast. Then I'm writing out a quiz such that it's put into a Google Sheets with a particular thing. You press a button. It then adds, concatenates the various aspects to it, and it has to be intelligent to do it. So I think it can be done, but it's, you know, a heap of programming to get going. But the actual prototype, the concept prototype, can get up. The research, so as for the physical thing, you have a concept prototype, a research prototype, and beyond, you're all integrating together. I'm just about, I think Scouts are coming to an end now. I'll have to get, oh shoot, I don't know what's happened to my keys in front of me here. It just has to be done. Now, of course, I went to the gym and spent the entire time just doing sound analysis, and I just not improving over 50 milliseconds, you know, sometimes going up to 118 milliseconds or 78 milliseconds. I just, the amount of time to do these double sweeps, and I just, the brain just was not clicked in. It was just a horrible, horrible hour. And so that finishes this podcast, and I'll put it up. And so hopefully later on this evening, I'll just grind through and produce this next automated quiz to get through, a system of automation. So I know the overall process to go ahead, but rather than a, where you have to speak the quiz, it's now automated. You type the quiz out with the an automated reader for it as an interim. It's sort of a fast, a text to speech, and the text to speech being fed by a construct document constructed by Excel. So it can actually produce the printed version, a print good to go formatted version, but it can also produce a good for speech to text version and get you up and running at the end of it. Okay, look, thanks a lot for listening. I'm going off now to pick up my daughter and see how she's after Scouts.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.